Welcome to 95 Mac Daily for Friday, November 7th, 2025. I'm your host, Chance Miller. We are sponsored this week by Backblaze. Leading off today, Apple released macOS 26.1 Tahoe this week with changes to things like Liquid Glass and some new icons. As it turns out, the update also adds new tools for Spotlight. Spotlight in macOS Tahoe became a lot more powerful, with features like quick keys, new supported actions, and more relevant results. One of the tentpole changes, however, was clipboard history. You can enable this by going to System Settings, choosing Spotlight, then toggling on the Clipboard History setting. It basically then gives you a way to view everything that you've copied onto your clipboard over a set period of time. In the initial release of macOS 26 Tahoe, however, this feature didn't have an option for how long you wanted that clipboard history to be maintained. It was an all-or-nothing 8 hours system. With macOS 26.1, however, Apple has added new options. You can now choose how long you want your clipboard history saved, between 30 minutes, 8 hours, or 7 days. So if you want the benefits of accessing your clipboard history in Spotlight but are especially privacy conscious, the 30-minute option is nice to have. 8 hours, again, was the default before, but if that wasn't enough time for you, the new 7-day option should meet your needs. And complementing these new time settings, macOS Tahoe 26.1 also adds a clear clipboard history button, so if you want to start from scratch, you can easily do so in System Settings. Next up today, Apple's ongoing efforts to comply with the Digital Markets Act in the European Union might soon bring the removal of another key feature. A new report says that iOS 26.2 will drop support for iPhones syncing Wi-Fi networks to Apple Watch in the EU. Apple told French publication Numerama that in iOS 26.2, iPhone won't be able to sync Wi-Fi details to Apple Watch like it can now. This is due to DMA requirements around things like interoperability. The Wi-Fi syncing feature basically means that when you set up a new Apple Watch, you don't have to manually enter Wi-Fi passwords on your Apple Watch because it can simply pull them all over from your iPhone. And at the same time, when you set up a new Wi-Fi network on your iPhone, that network is automatically also synced to the Apple Watch. But due to those DMA interoperability requirements, those features will go away in the European Union this year. This means that EU iPhone and Apple Watch users will have to manually keep their Wi-Fi networks and settings in sync between their two devices. Nothing will be done automatically. Apple was basically presented with a choice from the DMA. It could open up Wi-Fi access to third-party accessories, or it could simply remove Wi-Fi syncing altogether from the Apple Watch. The latter is what it's decided to do. The report explains that Apple warned the European Commission that sharing the history of Wi-Fi connections with third-party groups would have severe privacy implications. Apple said that a competitor like Meta could use the Wi-Fi link between an iPhone and a pair of Meta Ray-Ban glasses to know your Wi-Fi history, know where you were, and at what time, in order to show you more targeted advertisements. The company says that the European Commission is basically asking it to replicate the link between an iPhone and an Apple Watch, but with third-party projects. And while Apple thought long and hard about how to implement this functionality, it ultimately decided to reject the request. All of this stems from the European Union's DMA rules, which say that third-party accessories should have the same treatment by the iPhone as the Apple Watch. There's still time for this to change, and the European Commission could ease up on its request, or maybe Apple could give in to the pressure. But for now, iPhone and Apple Watch users in the EU will have a worse experience starting in December. We are sponsored this week by Backblaze. Whether it's a client file, a critical invoice, or a folder of family photos, losing your data shouldn't be permanent. With Backblaze, you can restore from the cloud, the desktop restore app, or even have a drive with your data shipped to you overnight. It's automatic backup that works for everyone, individuals, freelancers, and small businesses, all without any setup headaches. 9to5 Mac listeners get 20% off with code 9to5daily. Go to backblaze.com/9to5Mac to start your free trial and use the promo code at checkout. backblaze.com/9to5Mac or hit the link in the show notes. Running out this week, Apple's rumored cheaper MacBook powered by an iPhone processor is back in the news. We first got wind of the rumored low-end MacBook over the summer, when supply chain analyst Ming-Chi Kuo said a MacBook running an A18 Pro chip was in the works. Kuo had said it would enter production in late 2025 or early 2026. Now, Mark Gurman at Bloomberg is reporting on the cheaper MacBook for the first time, saying that it is codenamed J700 and will cost well under $1,000. Apple will hit that price point by using less advanced components. It'll use an iPhone processor and a lower-end LCD display. The screen will also be the smallest of any current Mac, coming in at slightly below the 13.6-inch display used in the MacBook Air. The Bloomberg report frames the cheaper MacBook as an alternative to the iPad. Many iPads can already rival the MacBook Air in price, especially when combined with keyboard and trackpad accessories. So a MacBook with a keyboard and trackpad built in will inevitably be cheaper than those iPad setups. Perhaps more importantly, however, the machine is also meant to compete with cheaper Windows laptops and, in particular, Chromebooks. The Bloomberg report doesn't specify which iPhone processor will power this cheaper MacBook. The original rumor claimed it would use the A18 Pro chip, which is what powers the iPhone 16 Pro. In September, Apple launched the A19 Pro, which powers the iPhone 17 Pro. So we don't know if this cheaper MacBook might get that spec bump to the A19 Pro as well. We also currently don't know anything about the design of this cheaper MacBook. But still, it's very notable to hear that Apple is planning a MacBook powered by an iPhone chip, but most importantly, is priced well under $1,000, a price point that could drive new users to the Mac at a faster pace than ever before. That wraps up another episode and another week of 9to5 Mac Daily. As always, if you like the show, please be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, where you can leave a rating and a review. You can find an ad-free version of the show at 9to5mac.com/join for $5 a month or $50 a year. Keep up with all of the latest Apple news on 9to5mac.com. Follow along with me on Threads at Chance H. Miller, and we'll be back on Monday for a new week of Apple news.